Well, today is Mother's Day, and I'm so glad for all the mothers out there, whether here today in our services or listening to us online. It's great to have mothers. Mothers have done so much for us. For most of us, mothers have been there for us. They knew us even before we were born, because while we were still inside them, they loved us, they cared for us. They fed us. They changed our diapers. Talk about through the floods. They helped us grow up. They taught us. They nurtured us. They provided for us. Some of them have taught us at young ages how to take care of ourselves and how to do things around the house sometimes. Some of them helped teach us how to sew and to cook and to clean, and some taught us how to do laundry, and some of us... Some of them have hugged us and we've cried and bandaged up our boo-boos. Or they cared for us when we were sick. Some have even prayed for us for countless hours on end in our lifetime. Many mums are the glue that hold the whole family together. And most importantly, I know some of you had mothers of faith. And I'm grateful to have a mother of faith myself. In fact, I forgot to do that this morning. I'm going to do something this morning. I'm going to play a piano special for you this morning that my mom loves. And kind of as a Mother's Day gift to her, I'm going to just play a little hymn that she loves. And it goes like this. Thank you. So I'm so grateful to have a mother of faith who demonstrated God's love and servanthood, who taught me right from the beginning right and wrong, who showed me how to trust God, a God that we can't even see, and to believe in a Savior who died for the sins of the world. A woman who relied upon God to provide for her family and her needs through thick and thin. And if you've had a mother like this, count yourself blessed, truly blessed. Because I know there are some out there that don't have mothers like that. They don't have mothers that loved them and cared for them. They might have been neglectful or harsh. You might have been one that grew up and is adopted or never knew your mother because she left or passed away before you were, while you're still young. Your mother might not have started you off on the right track or helped you develop. She may not have been a good example to follow, and that's a sad reality to some. And if that's the case, we grieve with you this morning. Mother's Day is not usually a holiday you like to celebrate. Or maybe you're a woman out there who wants to be a mother, but for some reason or another cannot. And the thought of that brings you grief and hurt on a day like this. Maybe you've lost a child. And we hurt with you, and we're saddened because of that. However, we're going to look at a mother this morning in a Bible that has many of the good characteristics of a woman. A mother of faith. Someone who trusted in God in whatever was happening in her life. And we're going to see three areas where she demonstrated the kind of faith that every woman and every man, you can listen along too, men, have in their life. Okay, so let's start by reading her story in 2 Kings chapter 4. You can read along the screen as I read it out loud to you this morning. Says, the wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, bring me another one. But they replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. We see here, a mother who has three areas in which she has faith in. And the first area of this mother's faith is to have faith to ask for help. Now, it is awful hard sometimes to ask for help, isn't it? Even if we're in desperate need of it. I know there were times in my life where I needed a little extra help, and it was kind of humiliating. You know, money was tight, and I needed to ask for some help. I could not make ends meet on myself, and it's a bit humiliating. I had to swallow my pride and ask. And some people think, well, if you ask for help, doesn't that mean a lack of faith? Isn't that this a display of showing no faith? But I don't think so. I think that you should trust God to provide for your needs, but asking help from others might be some way which God supplies that help and is not a lack of faith. Is only when, but that is not what we have here in this passage. I think today it relates to us because when we ask for things, God can accomplish things, can answer our prayers. So many times God uses people around us to be the hands and feet of Christ to us and for us. And as we look at this woman in this passage here, we see that she is in desperate state. She's a widow. She had lost her husband, her only means of support in those days. And she had two hungry mouths to feed, didn't she? Apparently, the work that her husband did as a prophet did not make enough for the family. And so this widow was left with a debt. And we're told that her husband was part of this group of prophets that we read about in this section of Kings, the end of 1 Kings and the beginning of 2 Kings. And we're not told a whole lot about this company of prophets that is mentioned here, but the Bible does give a few hints. So let me give you a little bit of background on where this story takes place and how these prophets came about. We have Elijah, who was a prophet before Elisha, that we read about in this passage. And Elijah lived in the times of a wicked king, King Ahab, and his wife, Queen Jezebel. And they're probably the most wicked rulers that Israel ever had. You probably remember the story where Elijah confronts the prophets of Jezebel, the prophets of Baal up on the mountaintop, and they offer the sacrifices or offer an altar up there, and Elijah calls down fire from heaven and destroys the altar on the top, and the prophets are killed. But that caused Queen Jezebel to get kind of threatened, and so she threatened Isaiah's life, and so Isaiah runs away. Of course, and then we have the story of Isaiah and God's coming together, and God comes to Isaiah in the wind and in the fire and in the earthquake. And it says God wasn't in the whirlwind, or he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in an earthquake. But God came and spoke to him in a still, small voice. And God tells Elijah at that time that, hey, you might think you're alone, but it says there in 1 Kings 19:18 that 7,000, that God had reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouth has not kissed his idol. Well, I'm sure some of these 7,000 people that God had reserved back formed a band of prophets. We're not told why they started or what their purpose was, but it seems like Elijah brought these guys together, some of these guys. I'm sure there are probably women in there as well, because they're married men and they're single men, I'm sure, in there. But this man happened to be married, and so Elijah got them together to kind of be their leader and to help them. And Elijah may have showed them how to live godly lives, and they taught others how to minister and to teach to those who are living in the shadows of these wicked rulers. And there's at least two of these groups that we see about when Elijah is just about ready to be taken to heaven. We have the story of Elijah being taken to heaven in a chariot. But before that, Elisha is confronting or going along with him, and he comes to Bethel, and the group prophet says, hey, you know, Elijah's going to go up to heaven today, Elisha. You know that? And Elisha says, yes, I know that. They went to Jericho, and another group of prophets, we're told there, said, hey, you know, Elijah's going to go to heaven. Yes, I know that, Elisha says. And so, so after Elijah does ascend to heaven, in that chariot of fire, Elisha becomes a leader, and probably he leads that group as well. And so here in chapter 4, apparently this man in this group had a family, had a couple sons, and he died. We're not told why he died or what, but he was a righteous man, it says there, that he was revered that he revered the Lord. So his death wasn't anything negative. It's, like I said, probably just because he was a prophet and the support. You know, they're under this wicked king. And so that support for his ministry probably didn't come in. But he's in a debt. And so when he died, we had this widow come to Elisha to ask for help. And she emphasizes that he was under Elisha's leadership, that he was a faithful follower of God, and asked him for help. And like I said, I think this is the first step that we see of this widow having faith. Because she trusted in Elijah, that Elisha would know what to do. And so she asks for help. And again, I don't think this is a lack of faith. This shows that who she trusted in. She trusted in the Lord, but went to Elijah and said, hey, can you help me out? And I think we need to take this to heart as well. That when we're in need, whether it be financial need or spiritual need or emotional need, whether it be a big need or a small need, that we can come and ask for help. That asking for help is not a lack of faith. It's still trusting in God. We might need healing or encouragement. In fact, we talked a couple weeks ago about confessing your sins and praying for one another, and that context was praying in faith over the sick people. That was the context there in James. What does it say first there in James, what we need to do when we are sick? We need to call the elders together, right? And ask them to pray for you. That's asking, right? It's the first step of faith. Asking for help. Again, prayer is asking God is a wonderful thing. Because answers sometimes need hands and feet. You never know what you never know until you ask someone out there. They might be just there waiting for you to ask so they can help you, right? They might be the hands and feet, and that's how God supplies their faith, because you've asked for something in faith. So it might be out there. People are praying for opportunities for God to use them, and you might be the person that can be fed, be used. But they will not see the need until you ask them. This last week, as many of you know, we have a website, and in our website we have a certain section on there for prayer requests. And for the last several years, I haven't had too many requests, and I thought, well, maybe the website was wrong, and I checked it, and it was okay. But actually, this last week, someone using our website came along and clicked on the prayer request and sent me an email through the prayer request. It was kind of an unusual prayer request, but he was just asking for things that he needed. And I said, well, this is kind of weird. I'm not sure but I said, wait a second. I'm preaching on asking, and this guy is asking in faith, and so yeah, I should respect his request and respect what he's asking, and so I prayed for him. I sent him back a little thank you for allowing me to pray with him, and said, hey, when you get an answer to prayer, you let us know, because we want to celebrate that with you. The very act of asking may be the step of faith that God is calling for. Plus, I think it's comforting to know from this story here, we see this woman who's just an unknown widow. We're not told their names. We're not told anything about them, but they're small individuals and families that God can take care of them too. I mean, yes, God can take care of the mass multitudes. He's mighty and powerful. We read about stories in the Old Testament how God brings supplies and supplies the needs of the children of Israel when they're out in the wilderness wandering. That brings them food and water to them, to millions of people there in the wilderness in Exodus and Numbers. But he also looks out for widows and orphans. He cares for each and every individual out there. And so this morning, if you need a little extra help, start with faith by asking for help. But then there's a second area that this mother has faith in, and that's to faith to approach your neighbors. You see, when this mother of faith came to Elijah and asked for help, what did he reply? He said, well, what can I do? How can I help? Like this widow, Elisha didn't have the means to support this family financially. I mean, I think Elijah was thinking more long term. He says, well, I suppose we could probably pay the debt, but what about from then on? I mean, she had lost her husband, and that was the means for support. And apparently her sons were not old enough at this time to work and support their mother. All they could do is be sold as slaves and kind of pay the debt back then. And if they were sold as slaves, then the widow would have even less to help support her, type of thing. And so I think Elijah was thinking more long term, says, well, what can I do to help you? I can't do something myself. Well, what do you have? He asks what she already has. And she confesses, well, there's nothing really available. There's nothing that I have. Everything's been sold. Everything's been taken away. All I have is just a little oil. And I love that. Nothing except a little oil. I love how God uses little things to make big things, right? How many times does God do that in the Bible? Many times. I mean, he took a small shepherd boy and made him a king. He took 12 unknown fishermen and people around his area and made them into apostles. I mean, we even read where he took a meager lunch of a little boy that had five loaves and two fishes and fed 5,000 hungry men with leftovers. Right? God takes whatever we offer him and produces much more than we can ever think or imagine. We can hold on to ourselves. No matter how little we think we have, little is much when the Lord is with you. Little is much when God gets his hands on it. When you give it to God, God can take anything that's little, even a mustard seed of faith, and create moving mountains. You remember the two pennies the widow put in the temple treasury? How Jesus praised her for her faith? You remember last year, a year and a half ago, when we busted Acorn Banks out, and just a few pennies that the boys and girls put into their Acorn Banks, they're now buses, made a big difference, right? Now, we're going to eventually, hopefully this summer sometime, take our buses and bust our buses, okay? We've got some more on order. We don't have any in stock right now. And I know that we're going to do that hopefully this summer. We'll find a way to come up here and bust our buses, just like we broke our Acorn Banks. But be looking for these in the next several weeks there. We're going to be double-checking, see where they're held up, if they're being held up, or if we forgot the order, or the order was misplaced or whatnot. But anyways, little things, little pennies and nickels and dimes add up to large things. But Elijah asked this woman to take a step of faith to approach her neighbors. This widow probably had nothing in her house to pour oil into to multiply it. Certainly not enough to pay her debts, so she had to approach her neighbors. But again, notice what Elijah instructs her. Ask for empty pots. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Elijah, I would say, hey, go ask for full pots. You know, hey, can you help me out? I'm a little poor. I'm needy. I'm a widow. Can I get full pots of oil and I'll sell them and I'll give you your pot back? That's not what Elijah asked. I'm sure some of her neighbors would have supported her. I mean, she had a good story, a sob story, if you will, type of thing. Her husband was gone and needed money to support the kids. And after all, the Old Testament had commanded the children of Israel to support widows and foreigners and orphans. And we're told that at least 7,000 people were God-fearing people in the area. So maybe she could have got support from them. And I thought, well, why didn't Elijah say, hey, go ask for some support? I mean, that's not a bad thing. But I think Elijah wanted her faith to grow even more. I mean, she had the faith to ask, and now he wanted her faith to grow even more by approaching her neighbors. And like I said, I believe she showed faith to ask, and now she was showing faith in God. So she went around to her neighbors, approaching them to see if she could borrow empty pots. I mean, if someone asks you for an empty pot, you know, people, you know, ask for a cup of sugar type of thing. If you go, sometimes we run out of sugar at our house or whatnot, and I go to next door to my mom's, hey, you have a cup of sugar or some salt or whatever it is. And but she says, hey, give me an empty pot. And I'm sure if people were asking, well, why do you need empty pots? And so that would give her an opportunity to share with her neighbors what was going on in her life. How Elisha told her to get these empty jugs, to fill them and set them aside. And I like how he says, get a lot of them. Don't ask just for a few, get a lot of them. And so it was up to her to decide how many jugs or how few jugs she would get, right? This was one case where her faith was in direct proportion with how many she got, right? If she had a lot of faith, she got a lot of them. If she had little faith, then there wasn't a lot of jars. If she had a lot of faith, the reward would be huge. If not, and we're not told how many she got. I wish they would tell us this. Did she have a big faith in God or a little faith? But that's a question I'm going to ask you this morning. How big is your faith? How many neighbors would you have approached? A few or a lot? Would you have been shy or bold? Would you have gained lots of pots, or would your oil have run out early because of your lack of courage and faith? You see, you are also a vessel of God too. We sang about that this morning, that God wants to fill us until we are full. And there is no limits to God's blessings. Blessings are all mine. But we need a vessel that's empty to fill. That we need to empty ourselves of our pride and our haughtiness and our self-sufficiency. And we need to say, God, fill me. I want your blessing. I don't want blessings that I can get myself. That won't work. God wants to fill us until we're full. And there's no limit on his blessing. His oil will never run out. The only limit to gaining his blessing is our capacity to receive it. Our capacity to receive it, as in that milk carton this morning. Are you an empty vessel waiting for God to fill you? Or are you so full of yourself that there is no room for God? I think we need to think big and dream big, because God is willing and waiting for us to approach him. I mean, it says in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine," right? "According to his power that is work within us, to God be glory forever and ever." I want our faith to grow just as it did for this mother. Faith that can take on the world. Faith to even approach the neighbors around us. Because I'm sure, like I said, this neighbor of the woman asked questions about why she received one of these pots. Or what happened when she returned them and said, "Hey, here's your pot back." Well, the neighbors, I'm sure, are curious. "Well, what happened? Did you get what you needed?" And she was able to tell the miracle that happened in her life. When she approached these neighbors, both to get the jars and to return them, she was able to tell the neighbors about this miracle that changed her life. And we can do the same with our neighbors. Approach them and let them know the miracle that changed our lives. How Jesus, by faith, came into our hearts and cleansed us from every sin. So I hope we have that faith to approach our neighbors too. But thirdly, the third area of faith is to faith to act by faith. This mother had got it all together, put her faith in this act, and she needed to put in her faith into action. I mean, having asked for help and approached her neighbors, she actually needed to start acting and pouring, right? This miracle wouldn't happen if she had just said, "Okay, God, fill the pots," you know? That didn't happen. She had to start by faith. So after gathering all the pots and all these vessels and all these things, and I think she gathered a whole lot, she closed the doors and started filling one jug at a time. And apparently she filled so many that she lost track of how many she had, right? She says, "Bring me another one." And her son says, "There's no more. We filled them all." And it says right then the oil had stopped. If she had one more jar, the oil would continue flowing, but there were no more jars. And my question that will remain unanswered because we're not told is, how satisfied was she when she got done? You know, she got done pouring and the oil stopped, and as she looked around, was she sad and said, "Oh, if only I've asked that neighbor for a jug. If only I've asked, you know, there's just not a lot around here. If I would have asked for more jars." Did she say to herself, "Why didn't I approach that neighbor or this neighbor?" Did she see how few she collected and wondered if he'd just gotten a little bit more, the oil would kept flowing? Or, in surprise, did she look around and say, "Look at all these jugs. From this little jar of oil that I had, I filled all these?" And she was happy and saw all the great number. I think from what we know of this mother of faith, I think it was probably the latter. That she was joyful and said, "Hey, look at how God has blessed me." Her house was full of jars of oil, and she was happy and joyful because her faith in God and God's faithfulness to her. But she had to take that step of faith and not knowing if all her other faith would be paid off. I mean, how many of us think the hardest part of her faith was actually stepping out in faith and doing it? Maybe. I'm not so sure, though. That step into the unknown, that action that would prove if we trust would come true if our faith was misplaced. And I'm not sure, when I look at this mother's faith, if that was a big step for her, because she's already demonstrated these two other areas of faith by asking for Elijah's help and for approaching her neighbors. She had already asked for faith, and this was just the next logical step. It doesn't take too much faith after she's gotten all this far already, right? And sometimes we think this kind of a step of faith as something grand or something hard to do. It reminds me of what we're told in Hebrews chapter 11. The definition of faith is that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It goes on and says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I mean, It's just another step of faith. You believe in God, now you must believe that he rewards those. I mean, that's just the natural step. There are a number of people who receive faith and have faith in what they believe in, but they don't have that faith to believe that God's good to you. God is good to us. He wants to bless us. And there were a number of people in that chapter who believed by faith and received what they believed in. Right? It goes on. Hebrews, later on it says, these people who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames, who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back the dead, raised to life again. I mean, these people in the Old Testament had faith and saw their faith. Right? But then the very next verse says this. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, prosecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the grounds. These all were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for them, that only together with us they would be made perfect. You see, there are some people out there who by faith will step out in faith and will fall. Don't get me wrong, there are people who are going to step out in faith and God's going to bless them and they're going to see their blessing with their own eyes, but like it says here in Hebrews, there's others who will not receive the reward until they're in heaven. That takes tremendous faith, doesn't it? To step out in faith and realize that sometimes we won't see the results of that. We won't see answer to prayers. We won't see what God has for us. We'll only see it when we rise again. They didn't get their prayers answered, at least not while they're alive. Their faith was still strong, though. Their faith didn't disappoint. They still had faith, right? But they said, hey, even if God doesn't bless us, we're still going to follow him, right? That's what the children of Israel said, the children of, in the story of the fiery furnace says, if God saves us, great. Our faith will be made sight. But even if he doesn't, king, we're not going to bow down and worship you. We're still going to have faith. How many of us have that strong of faith? That's hard faith. It's like, God, I cannot see you. I cannot see if you're going to work in my life, you're going to answer my prayers or not. But I'm still going to trust you. This widow had faith, and she did receive. This mother had faith, her faith made sight when she poured and poured and poured until the last one was filled. Do you have enough faith? We sang it this morning. Some through the water, some through the flood, all through the fire, but all through the blood. God's going to give us the song. God's going to lead us along if we have the faith, even if we don't receive. Right? This is the hard part about faith. And what I love about mothers, because mothers, a lot of mothers had this faith. This mother here had faith. If she would have been filled with a lot of oil or not, she had faith and believed in God. Faith to act. Faith to approach your neighbors. Faith to ask for help. Do we have this kind of faith in our lives this morning? Faith, like this mother, to trust in God, and God did supply all our needs. And like I said, God wants to bless us, but we need to be emptied and filled us and help us with our faith. So whether he answers or not, we'll still say, God, you are with us. You have blessed me. You have encouraged me. Let's close this morning in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for these examples of faith that we see in the Bible. This woman, this mother who by faith came and was blessed. And yet, as we also read, Lord, there are some that will not receive your blessings here on earth. They'll receive their blessings full in heaven. So allow us, whether you answer or not, to keep trusting in you, to allow us to have faith that you are wonderful and a gracious God to us, that you love us even in the dirt, in the valley of the shadow of death, that you go with us, you are with us, that you help us and comfort us. Thank you, Lord. Help us in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.